WMNF.com.
And good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. This is 88.5 FM, community radio from West Central Florida. Welcome to Executive Session. This is a forum for discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. I'm John Gilmore, and I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday at this time. In this conversation, all viewpoints are welcome. We talk about things from all sides. Civility is required. We are basically convinced that radio can still be the back fence of the nation, a place where reasonable people can hash out the issues of the day and walk away enriched even if they still don't agree. You can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. You can reach the studio by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885. Be sure to find Executive Session on Facebook and like and follow the page. That's where we post the material for each day's conversation. You can see all the links to the material, and you can also join the discussions at some time. Happen there. Want to start off inviting you, if you have never called and you hear something on the program, if you hear a view expressed, if you have experience that will expand the community's awareness of something, don't be shy. Just pick up your device and tap out 813-239-9663. You will reach Mr. Bill Grace, who is handling our phones for us today, and he will want to know your name. He'll want to know where you're calling from, and he'll probably put you in this list as a full-time caller. We will take you as soon as we see you. So here's the thing. All we know for sure at this point in the day is that it is Thursday. So Flight Leader Sheeler, please prepare the cabin.
Ladies and gentlemen, Captain Gilmore has informed me there is turbulence ahead. Please turn up the volume and fasten your seatbelts. It's Buckle Up Thursday.
So get comfortable, get in something that is well connected to the floor, strap yourself in, and let's get ready to rumble. Because basically, we have noticed, and you may have noticed as well, that on Thursday, sometime between Thursday afternoon and Monday morning or Monday afternoon, something just blows up. And it happens over and over and over again, and that's how we came to call this Buckle Up Thursday. The president took to Twitter to complain about late-night comedians' comments about the administration. Jimmy Kimmel had a few things to say about that last night, and we're going to listen to 3 or 4 minutes of Jimmy's comments. And then, and by the way, if you have comments on his comments, that's also fertile ground to plow. We have been talking about sexual harassment. That is not what it is that we are going to hear. Just a second. Let me get up here on.
It was a very.
There you go.
On hashtag blessed day today, Facebook and Instagram have been down since 9 o'clock this morning. I know what to do. I was forced to go outside to show Polaroids of my lunch to strangers walking by on the street. Fortunately for our president, Twitter was up and running, no problem at all. President was tapping away in on, of all things, late-night comedy shows this morning. He wrote, Jay Leno points out that comedy on the very boring late-night shows is totally one-sided. It's tough when there's only one topic at Fox and Friends. Actually, the one-sided hatred on these shows is incredible and, for me, unwatchable. What a snowflake. But remember... But remember, we are number one, president. What the president was referring to was an interview with Jay Leno on the Today Show, during which Jay was talking about how talk shows have changed since he went off the air.
When people see you as one-sided, it just makes it tough. And plus, you know, I did it when, you know, Clinton was horny and Bush was dumb, and it was just a little easier.
Right. Here's this thing, and maybe I can explain this because I hear this a lot. I don't want to talk about Donald Trump every night. None of us do. None of us who host these shows do, but he gives us no choice. If he sat in the White House all day quietly working on things, I would almost never mention him because it's not interesting. But today, not even today, before 10 a.m. today, before 10 o'clock this morning, His former campaign chairman was sentenced to prison for the second time in a week. He called himself the most successful president in history. And he tweeted to let people know his wife hasn't been replaced with a body double. I'm not supposed to mention that. Obama wore mom jeans one time. We made jokes about it for six straight years. How about this? We'll make you stop being terrible. We'll stop pointing it out, okay? Yeah, we'll say. I do have to say I'm flattered he's watching, considering the fact that we are in the middle of a national emergency. Are the caravans here yet, or are those still on the way?
Still on the way.
Make some calls. Will you find out, Guillermo?
I will.
And this idea that all the talk show hosts are against him, I guess he hasn't been watching his press secretary's father. You know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders' dad, Mike, hosts what might be the funniest talk show of all.
Food historian Robin Metcalf from the University of Texas says that once a chicken has its own GPS tracker, quote, people who potentially will buy that chicken will know every step that chicken has taken. Not to belittle the noble chicken, but I'm sure there are hens all across America saying, with this technology, we're running out of cluck.
See, now that's comedy the way it used to be. This Melania body double conspiracy I mentioned, something's been making the rounds online. The theory is when Trump went to Alabama on Friday, he was accompanied by a body double instead of his actual wife. Some people believe this is a fake Melania. The real Melania is like, trust me, I wish it was a fake Melania. It was not. The president's former campaign chair, Paul Manafort, was sentenced to an additional 43 months in prison today for conspiracy against the United States and witness tampering, which brings the total time of his sentence to 7.5 years. It's kind of funny. Felicity Huffman might do more time than Paul Manafort. But
yep, the president's campaign manager. Now, he had several. We have to acknowledge that. Mr. Manafort was his campaign manager for something like 144 days and took the campaign through the convention. So if you're going to be managing a presidential campaign, the convention is probably as critical a time to be there as any. Paul Manafort, was sentenced twice in a week for, I believe, federal crimes, and indicted again after the second sentencing, and was indicted on state charges. And there is going to be a whole lot of discussion about the fact that basically he has already allocated to those charges. And so what's his defense going to be? And so it's going to be an ongoing thing. Now, the president's party, seemingly in lockstep for 2 years, seems to be headed for a thus far unprecedented break from the president. This from Politico. Quote, after more than 2 years of keeping his veto pen capped, Trump is going to have to put it to use twice, courtesy of the Republicans. President Donald Trump invited some Senate Republicans to the White House on Wednesday afternoon, but the president couldn't quite get the looming GOP rebuke of his national emergency declaration off his mind. The double-barreled veto fights on legislation to curtail the U.S. role in Yemen's civil war and block Trump's national emergency declaration on the southern border were on his mind. Now, this morning, the Washington Post posted an email with the headline, Senate rebukes Trump with vote ordering the U.S. military to end its support for Saudi-led war in Yemen. The brief paragraph is, it marked the second time in recent months that the Republican-led Senate admonished the president over his administration's continued backing of a campaign that human rights groups have blamed for the world's worst humanitarian crisis. The resolution must be passed by the House. Now, this originated in the Senate and must be passed by the House, where lawmakers approved a similar resolution earlier this year. So one of the questions that we could talk about today is the president losing his grip on the Republican Party? Has it seemed to you that the Republicans have maintained a very tight marching formation these past 2 years? And the mere expression of criticism from the Republican Party was rare, but actual defections in voting were even more rare. So if it seems to you that way, why do you think at this point that that is the case? Now, in fact, in congressional action that will bear directly on the president's power to use the American military from roll call, and these are excerpts from paragraphs in a roll call article. For the first time in at least a decade, Congress will soon debate the full scope of U.S. military interventions. A new bill, named after the late Representative Walter B. Jones, who left behind a legacy of dogged opposition to war, would repeal the military force authorization passed in the days after the 9/11 attacks. California Democratic Representative John Geramendi introduced the Walter B. Jones Restoring Power to Congress Act. That's called the Restoring Power to Congress Act last week. He said, "We are introducing the resolution to reestablish Congress's power and to force a debate about America's involvement in Yemen, Syria, Iraq, Somalia, Sudan, Mali, Niger, Nigeria, Mauritania." Did I miss some? Oh, yes, the Philippines. A little background, the AUMF was passed in 2001. It permits military strikes against any nation, person, or organization connected to the 9/11 attackers, quote, in order to prevent any future acts of international terrorism against the United States. But it has been stretched far beyond that purpose, dramatically eroding congressional oversight of the military. And that's the end of the entry from roll call. So do you think it's time for Congress to withdraw the authorization for the use of military force? Do you think that would affect this administration's foreign policy on Venezuela, Iran? Say the president no longer has the authority based on the authorization to use of military force passed after 9/11 to use the military pretty much at his discretion. Do you think Congress pulling that authorization back would affect this administration's foreign policy on Venezuela? How about Iran? Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men, woman. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G.R.O. was sour and great.
And we gabble into session for the last session of the week. This is Buckle Up Thursday. Make sure that you are well padded, thoroughly buckled in, because we don't even know what's going to happen in the next few days. We hear a lot of speculation from people who are watching the comings and goings from the Mueller team. And the general gist of things seems to be that based on what they see happening as far as people coming and going, they think that they're going to wrap this thing up soon. Now, that could be what do you think? Do you think that this is about to wrap up? If so, and this report is released, the investigation is complete and the special counsel turns the work product over to the Attorney General, which I believe is the operating hierarchy. Do you expect this report to be released? Do you expect to see what's in this report? And if they don't show you what's in this report, what do you think your reaction is going to be? The phone lines are full right now, but you can keep dialing, because as soon as somebody is finished making their comments, there will be an open line. We're just going to take these calls as they came in. Tim in Avon Park, good afternoon on a Buckle Up Thursday. Are you all tightly buckled up?
Yeah.
Good.
Bring down the oxygen mask and the vomit bags and the bloody noses are going to be slamming, you know, turbulence going here.
And get ready for the ride.
Right. My comment's a little bit on a different subject. I wanted to comment about the Rydell bribery case, you know, with the students are getting their parents getting money for their grades. I just want to say something that happened to me a long time ago. I was in Indianapolis. It has to do with my school and everything. I went to a school called PSI Institute, and they go, well, how would you like to go to school for free? I'm like, yeah, that sounds good, you know. I didn't know nothing, you know. And I go in there, and they sign me up for this college, you know. I get my Pell Grant and my Stanford loan, and I'm going to be a computer program. And I was there for 3 days. I got a phone call. And my mother had passed away. Gosh, you know, crap. You know, I got to go back home. So I go into the office. I go, how much would I owe if I leave now and quit school? And they go, oh, just $1,200. It's not good. $1,200 won't be that much. So I leave, and all of a sudden I get a thing in the mail, with $3,000, and then next year I get another $9,000, and I said, well, you completed 3/4 of your classes. I go, no, that's not what I said. We can come back to school. I go, I don't live there anymore. And so I got all these grants. I have to repay, and I never paid them, because I didn't think it was fair that I pay them, because I'm only there for 3 days. And so I found out later on, I looked at this guy, the owner of the PSI Institute, he went to jail for fraud. And so I called the education, government education of school, and they sent me a promissory note. And right on the promissory note, they changed the date and initialed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, whoa, they changed the date. This is fraud. And so I'm talking to the lady. She goes, well, you're going to have to hire a signature analyst.
Right. It's going to be up to you to prove that, sport. So break out all your money and let's see what you can do.
Yeah, it's like, and I looked it up. It's like $300 a half hour for these guys to look at these letters. And it's clearly obvious. I don't have the promissory note. What do you guys from the school? I didn't. How will I change it? You know, that was their office, you know, material. They sent it to you. And now it's changed.
Relate this to the rich and famous. Tim.
Well, the rich and famous, it's all the news, you know, and this actor got in trouble, you know. I just think it's kind
of funny. All right, we have to be much more careful about our language usages, Tim.
I'm sorry.
But it's okay. Listen, I appreciate you calling there, and I hope that Avon Park remains stable through the weekend, and we'll talk with you again.
I keep going to the park looking for the Avon dealers.
Okay. No, I don't think they're there anymore. They weren't there when I used to go down there either. Take care of yourself,
right,
Tim.
Man. Thanks.
813-239-9663. We'll get you in contact with Mr. Bill Grace this afternoon, who will get you ready to step in here. We opened up talking some about the fact that the Republican Party seems to be drifting out from under the umbrella of the administration, shall we say, and that they're about to present, and these are the Republicans, by the way. This is not the new Democratic House. These are Republicans in the Senate who are about to present him with a bill that says, no, you can't do that as far as the National Emergency Declaration is concerned. And by the way, The Washington Post is reporting that the Senate has already sent a bill to the House to limit the American involvement in Yemen. So the Congress seems to be clawing back some of the power, some of the war powers that it has ceded to the executive branch for the last several years. Ted in Ellington, good afternoon. I bet you're well buckled up.
Well, I just got back from the bunker hydrating the hemp.
I hope there's no GPS on your phone, Ted.
Going right by me. You know what? Hey, it's been 19 years, John. I think it's about time Congress could take back their authority to declare war.
Yeah. So yeah, they handed the executive, they handed the presidency a massive latitude, as very wide latitude for in using the American military, and it has been. I mean, you can go down and look to see what it's been used for, and they are looking at the list of involvements that we have right now and going, wait a minute, we got to get this back under control.
Yeah. And, John, the CIA's got a big budget that nobody knows about.
Yeah, how about that?
You know, Blackwater, they need the money.
Well, I don't know. That whole black box appropriation thing, I can understand that, because we do have to fund things that we don't want the entire world to know about. But boy, it occurs for me as a field rich for mischief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That worked out real good in the 80s.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, you.
I buckled in the nose of, in a seatbelt from a 737 8 Max. I'm going downhill.
Yeah. Well, just listen. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Turn off the autopilot.
Yes, obviously.
And we'll talk again.
All right, John, bye.
813-239-9663. Right now, there's a line open right this very minute. Hit that thing. And we're going to go and talk to Mike in Tampa. Mike, what do you want to talk about impeaching Trump?
Yeah, did you hear Democracy Now this morning?
I only heard very, very small parts of it because I was engaged in numerous other activities.
Well, Amy Goodman had a guest on here talking about reasons why he should be impeached.
Yeah.
And for one, he's in violation of the Monmouth Clause.
Yeah.
With the foreign and domestic Monmouth Clause, which says that the president cannot profit in excess of his salary from the office.
Yeah.
And he's not the best from his businesses, so he's profiting from the office.
Far as we can tell.
Yeah. And he's putting children in prisons or detention and separating them from their parents, and that's without due process, violation of the civil rights.
There is when we were discussing this yesterday, there is there was a website we drew from, and I think that the link is still on the executive session Facebook page that lists 10 different items that they consider impeachable offenses from this White House, and they mentioned the Emoluments Clause. That was definitely one of them, and we read off three or four of them on the air yesterday. Didn't get to the rest of them because the conversation went someplace else. But there is some pretty substantial standing for considering that this president has committed impeachable offenses.
Yeah. And so, hush money to women that he's had affairs with. It's another one they mentioned.
Yeah, well, they see, that was that payment in itself is not all that problematic, but the timing of it and the possible reason for it are problematic, and that's what the that's where the catch is. They mentioned the fact that he had dismissed the head of the FBI, which he, by the way, does have complete power to do.
That's what triggered the Mueller investigation itself.
Yeah, that's what triggered the that's what triggered Mueller. Period.
Yeah. So, the reasons why he did it were because the head of the FBI didn't do what he wanted him to do, and wasn't meant to be a lord under any circumstance.
Yep. Well, let me see something. I'm working on pulling up the website here and working on pulling up the posting from yesterday to see if I can recover that that link to where we were looking about impeaching. No, the only thing that's posted right here right now is the NBC stuff. So anyway, there is if you search for impeach Trump or reasons to impeach Trump, there is a very tidy list put out by and they don't just say, oh, he did this and he did that. They actually present why they say that, you know, why they say those things are the way they are, because he's done things that were certainly within the purview of the office, but you can do something legal, and if you do it for a corrupt reason, then you're in trouble. All right, listen, Mike, it's always good to talk with you, and I hope that we get to talk again, and you stay buckled up over the weekend. All right, we'll talk again. 813-239-9663, and let's talk about some place you might like to go in just a little while.
A great annual WMNF event is the Caribbean Cruise Music Festival. You'll feel like you're on a Caribbean island with the aroma of island food, sweet sounds of island music, and colorfully dressed island people.
Now I have climbed upon this mountain. Before my eyes I see.
Join us at Skipper's Smokehouse, Saturday, March 23rd, 4 p.m. to midnight.
All right, that sounds like fun. All right, let's go talk to Tony. Tony, good afternoon. You're in executive session. Speak clearly. Get up real close to that phone.
Well, I'll speak as clearly as I can.
Okay, go slow and let's hear from you.
I have a voice problem. I'm very disappointed in Nancy Pelosi.
Okay.
I think that what Trump has done, a combination of things that we're almost numb to, it's so atrocious that we have to set the marker that he is impeached. That doesn't mean he's thrown out of office, but the House needs to start impeachment proceedings.
Okay. Are you worried, Tony, that the that if the House under Democratic control moves to impeach the president, that it will actually kind of forge him into a certain kind of martyrdom and confirm his deep state conspiracy theories?
That is a concern, but on the other side, if there isn't an impeachment, I think that millions of other people will just say they're all the same. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's a tough balance to strike, because there's basically constitutional duty, you know, that Congress is tasked with oversight. So they actually have a duty to do that stuff, but then there are also political realities they have to deal with in the real world.
Now, if I may comment, I'll be 78 next week, and I'm really disappointed in the people that are in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. They are not stepping up to the plate like my generation. 5th of all the federal judges now in office were appointed by Trump.
Yeah.
And approved by the Latin Senate.
Yeah. We've been talking about that, Tony, and have pointed out on numerous occasions that fairly quietly, every once in a while somebody stands up and thumps their chest about it, but very quietly, this Senate, this Republican-controlled Senate, has been confirming judges to lifetime appointments to federal seats that were left open because of Republican obstruction during the last administration.
Exactly. We've got to play hardball. That's, in order to meet the Republicans' behavior has been outrageous, and I would say treasonous. In some cases.
All right. Listen, thank you very much for calling, and I hope that we get to talk again, sir. And by the way, if we don't get to talk between now and then, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. Mr. Bill Grace will answer your call this afternoon and get you ready to step in here and have your say as we are going to talk to, I'll tell you what, let's talk to Danny for just a minute or two. Danny, what you got, boss?
Hey, man, I'm buckled up, brother. I'm buckled up.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah, you know something's coming up. I'll tell you, first of all, I'm for impeachment. I wanted to impeach him yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, I believe you mentioned that.
Yeah, right. Put me down, and I agree with Mike about that. And a lot of other callers, although I understand that it won't work out because the Senate, Republicans, there's no way they're going to go ahead and convict him. Although I thought about it, maybe if they did impeach him, and knowing that he would be acquitted, but then let's say that happens before the election, okay? And then the Democratic candidate could say, well, yeah, I mean, he was impeached, but he was acquitted by all his fellow Republicans.
Oh.
And therefore, that could maybe the voters could say, well, yeah. And they say, well, now let's get him out by beating him. That's one way to do it.
Well, the other interesting thing that just occurred to me is as a function of your remarks there is that the fact that the democratically controlled House did its job and impeached him, and that the Senate ignored and they could characterize it in any number of ways, but say characterize it as the Republican-controlled Senate ignored the overwhelming evidence and didn't convict. And don't you want to do something about that in this election?
That's a very good way to put it, John. Also, I'm definitely for Congress taking away more power from the president. So Congress is the only one really that should declare war, although that hasn't been in the last few actions in the past years lately. But no, especially with this guy. This guy this morning said that he, in a press conference, said he was ready. He's ready. They asked him about some threats. He says he's ready for anybody, anywhere. He got his bravado suit out again, you know. He said anytime, anywhere, I'm there, you know, whoever it is. He did mention that. You know, it's really funny when I talk about these comedians. Jay Leno, kind of disappointed in Jay Leno. I always like him. But to sit there and say that he made fun of Bush because he was stupid and Clinton because he was horny. But, I mean, you know, come on, man. Trump is a perfect. He's a treasure chest. And for Jay Leno to sit there and say that now that's off limits, I don't know. That reeks a little bit of hypocrisy on Jay Leno's part. And I know he's not a right winger.
Well, I got it. Now, I want to tell you, in all honesty, there was a line that followed that I took out because it was just like prejudice. I thought it was prejudicial. And so I just didn't, I edit these things because I want them to kind of flow from one place to another. And and he made a comment about the president that I thought was, excessive, I guess I would say.
Okay. Well, last night, Stephen Colbert definitely went that way too.
Yeah.
And listen, let me tell you something about this, Mike Huckabee. Oh my God, he's like Donald Trump. He is so funny. You know, the thing is that Mike Huckabee was on before the election with Megyn Kelly. And Mike Huckabee is telling Megyn Kelly, well, you know, Donald Trump is like Captain Quinn, and Hillary Clinton is like the shark. And Captain Quinn is going to go ahead and, like he did, he killed the shark just like he did, and Hillary Clinton will be the shark. And Megyn Kelly tells him, I hate to break this to you. But Captain Quinn was swallowed by the shark.
Yeah. What movie did you watch?
Yeah, exactly. That guy, he doesn't fall far from the tree. Him, his daughter, Michelle Bachman, Brian Fisher, all these other guys. They're all the same. All these are religious people. All these great Christians, and they vote for a man like Donald Trump, and they back a man like Donald Trump. That's the height of hypocrisy. Mike Huckabee. His claim to fame was that he won the Iowa caucus in 2012. That's it.
All right, Danny, listen, we're going to go. We got a full phone line. We got a full phone stack here. We're going to get a lot more people in here. I appreciate your comments, and we will talk again, sir.
I can dig it.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. And Mr. Bill Grace will answer your call and get you ready to step on in here and have your say. We started out talking about the fact that the president's campaign manager has been sentenced twice in a week and indicted again. And then that Politico pointed out that the Republican Party seems to be breaking ranks with the president, and that the Republicans in the Senate are about to hand the president two things that that he's going to have to veto. And one of them is they're going to say no to his executive order on the national emergency, and they're also going to hand him legislation that limits our involvement in Yemen, where we seem to be shoulder to shoulder with the Saudis, consider that, and also the authorization for use of military force, which was passed days after the 9/11 attack and has been in force for all these years, and that basically was put there so that the president had the ability to strike the people that struck us, and that it has been what you could call, there has been some, I guess, mission creep is a reasonably good description of that. And what you think that the Congress seems to be getting ready to basically repeal that. And do you think that has any effect on or would have any effect on the president's foreign policy in places like Venezuela or Iran? 813-239-9663. Antonio in Sarasota, good afternoon. You are in executive session, and you have the floor.
Sir, John, thank you for taking my call. I was wondering about how do you feel, what's your position on Biden possibly running again for president?
You know, I'll tell you what, I like Joe Biden. I mean, personally, as a guy, I got to say that I have come to call him Sir Gaffs a lot, because he has a remarkable propensity for putting one or both feet in some part of his mouth at some point. But he is he seems to me to be an authentic, well-grounded, very, very experienced statesman. And I think we could do worse.
Well, I think if the Biden thing is true, I think that the Democrats are going to mess up the whole elections like they did last year.
How's that?
Picking their candidate and not picking the people's candidate.
Ah.
And real quick too, how do you feel about the school thing? About the parents buying their kids' ways and for saving, you know, locking in positions for their rich kids?
I think that I have seen people point out that the actress that's in jail right now for that is likely to be imprisoned for longer than Paul Manafort.
I think that's wrong. That's wrong. I mean,
well, of course it is. You know,
doesn't big business buy its position and policies through, you know, through politics? So why can't parents with money do the same thing in school?
Well, you know, I got to tell you,
one is worse.
The Supreme Court has declared that money is speech, and I guess if you've got a bunch, you can yell real loud about getting your kid in college.
I don't think it's wrong. I mean, you just said, look, she might get more time than Manafort.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. They actually had people. They had ringers taking college entrance exams. And they did things like they got kids into college on fake athletic scholarship. So it wasn't merely, I mean, and I use the word, you can't see the air quotes here, but there's one on either side of the microphone. They aren't merely buying their children's way into college. They're actually committing fraud. You see what I mean?
Yeah, but isn't that just as bad as having some big CEO pharma run the FDA?
Yeah, and I don't like that either, by the way. And
got in trouble for that one, though.
Yeah, well, the distinction is that the president has the prerogative of appointing whoever he thinks the Senate will confirm to be in his cabinet, and I don't have the prerogative of bribing somebody to pay my kids or bribing somebody to take my kids' college entrance exams.
Well, I don't think it's any difference anyhow.
All right, thanks. Listen, Antonio, it's good to talk with you. We'll talk again.
Thank you, John.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. Here's someplace else that you might be interested in going here in a few days.
Ike Riley, star of Tropical Heatwave and longtime WMNF favorite, is returning to Tampa and the Attic in Ybor City on March 28th. You don't want to miss the show opener at 8 p.m., Siobhan Philidor.
It's time to let go.
That's Ike Riley at the Attic in Ybor City, Thursday night, March 28th. Capacity is limited, so get your tickets now at WMNF.org.
And you know what else you don't want to miss? You don't want to miss today on It's the Music. Stu is going to pay tribute to the fairer sex. It is National Women's History Month, and today will be a countdown show of the top 25 women in music history, from 25 all the way down to number one, or all the way up to number one. Women who rock our world on It's the Music today from 2 to 4 on WMNF, followed by You're Going Home Through the Traffic Jam. We're going to take you through the traffic jam and get you home on a Buckle Up Thursday so that you can arrange your Friday so that your weekend works out right, okay? 813-239-9663 will get you into this conversation, as it has Fran from Largo. Good afternoon, Fran. You are in executive session, and you have the floor.
Oh, hello, yes. Last night, I watched, the PBS Evening News. I guess a lot of other people that are listening might have watched it too. And they had a segment about asbestos and, most people think, oh, well, it's been outlawed and we don't have to worry about it. You know, it causes mesothelioma and, you know, cancers and things. Well, it's been showing up in makeup.
Yep,
and
cosmetics.
Cosmetics and kids' crayons and, you know, things like that. They also showed a bit from, a few years ago, quite a few years ago, I guess, of Donald Trump when he was younger, I guess back in his New York real estate deals, seeing the praises of asbestos and how much he loved it and what a wonderful thing, you know, wonderful thing it was and blah, 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 all this stuff. And then they went on to say, among other things, that they don't mine it anymore in Brazil. They used to be, the top provider of asbestos, but they still do it in Russia.
Yep.
And they showed, train loads of asbestos. I don't know what you would call it, big blocks of it. Ready for shipment to who knows where. Somebody's buying it. Somebody still wants it. If they're still mining it, they're still buying it.
Yeah, I figure.
Yes. And on each of these big packages on these trains, and I mean, they stretch quite a ways, they had this big circle, and on the outer part of the circle, they had all this Russian writing. I don't understand it. I can't read Russian. But right in the middle of this big circle, guess what they had? A picture of Donald Trump's face.
You know what? It's been quite a while, but I think I remember seeing some mention of this, and it was quite a while back. So, but you say that this was a part of a PBS news broadcast last night?
Yes, it was last night on the PBS News that they show. I watched it at 10 o'clock last night. It started at 10 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
I almost didn't watch it, but I'm glad I did. But yeah, you can check and you know see again if you can bring it up on your computer or something. Yeah. It's shocking, and you know Donald Trump. Everything with him can be shocking. You know things. What's the explanation for this? The Russians putting his face on these asbestos shipments. What is the reasoning for this? I would like to know.
It's a good question, and I actually don't know, but I appreciate it. I'm sure that there will be folks who will be madly dashing to their various DVRs and playback devices to go retrieve the NewsHour from last night to go look at that.
So I hope so.
I appreciate you bringing that into the session this afternoon. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. By the way, I managed to drag up that site that I was talking about that we used yesterday in our conversation about impeachment. And the name of the site is Need to Impeach. NeedToImpeach.com. And the banner is Donald Trump's 10 Impeachable Offenses. So there is some data there you can look at about what at least one organization has compiled that they say are sufficient offenses committed by this president that warrant impeachment. So let me see. We're going to go and talk to Teresa in St. Pete. Good afternoon, Teresa. You're in executive session. You have the floor.
Hi. I wondered, the impeachment, I mean, I've said this before, I think. I just don't want to see it impeached because what I'm afraid is going to happen is, like you said, it's going to martyr him and people are just going to support him and they're just going to come out and reelect him.
Mm-hmm.
I would like him out of the White House, preferably in handcuffs, drug out, arrested.
I see. So you are a fan of the Frog March.
Yes, I am.
I understand.
And,
I hear you.
And, you know.
Did we lose you?
I also, understanding that when Clinton, then his popularity went right through, you know, it really went high.
Yeah, he hit 60%.
And I'm afraid that's what's going to happen to this guy. And I get all these people. I mean, I would do, but it's just not a good thing to do. And Nancy Pelosi knows that because she doesn't have the vote, and then it's just going to make it worse.
Yeah.
So I'm just for that, and you know.
I think what they can do, and I think what they're going to do. Is they are going to continue to examine this presidency in a very minute way and use their majority in the House to investigate virtually anything that looks like it is even out of place.
Right, and I like that. That's fine because when Obama was president, it was like
Yeah, I actually saw somebody who said, well, you know, we didn't go after the Obama administration. Yeah. And then I saw a list of the things that they went after the Obama administration about.
Yeah,
Solyndra, so Fast and Furious, Benghazi.
And mustard. I know Sean Hannity did some stupid segment on the mustard Obama used. It was just ridiculous. And, you know, and so I'm just like going, all presidents go through this crap. Bush was criticized. I mean, Jay Leno, when he was on and the Clinton administration, it was just like sex jokes for 4 years.
Yeah, so it was like, pretty relentless, wasn't it?
And you didn't see Clinton coming out, you know, and oh, they're presidential harassment and da-da-da. It was like, they're not snowflakes. This guy's a snowflake, and all his supporters are snowflakes.
I don't want to generalize that, but I would have to say that this president seems to have just about the thinnest skin anyone I've ever seen in politics.
Snowflake. They like to call us snowflakes. I'm like, excuse me, you're the snowflake.
Okay, turnabout's fair play. Thank you, Teresa.
Exactly. I wanted to point out one thing.
Quickly.
I noticed that Daryl and Elizabeth haven't called.
We were just talking about that not too long ago, and I have been in contact with Elizabeth's family, and I have been told that she is well, and that we might hear from her at some point. And I also noticed that we haven't heard from Daryl. So yes.
Yeah, okay.
All right, thanks, Teresa. We'll talk again. Sure enough. All right, we are well into the lightning round, about to wrap up the sessions for the week, and we're going to go and talk to as many people as we can, starting with Nate down in Venice. Good afternoon, Nate. You're in executive session.
Yes, sir. The people do want Joe Biden. I think he should announce it and also announce he'll run for one term and bring Beto or Pamela Harris as his VP, if that's possible.
There you go.
The problem with Democrats is, and I've been a bleeding liberal my whole life, and like my dad told me last night, they don't fight. Republicans would impeach Obama in a minute if they had the chance.
Uh-huh.
Democrats, they don't fight. This is not Ted Kennedy's Democratic Party anymore.
Yeah.
And I get tired of it.
Democrats seem to be content to eat each other. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, well, Nancy Pelosi will come out stronger against her own people, but then she does this little catwalk with a guy who got all of these violations. I get so tired of them. I'm 43 years old, and I am tired of this party being soft. I'm tired of it.
I hear you. I'll tell you what. There is. I was heartened by the turnout, but first by the turnout, and second by the products of the midterm elections. The people that we sent to the House, and actually that we sent to official positions in a lot of places around the country, but especially to the House. And I think it's very interesting to see that there are a lot of highly progressive people who were elected this last cycle.
Can I just say this real quick?
Very quick.
The people who won were the people who were just what you just said. They were super progressive.
Yeah.
The party, the people won't fight us. Simple as that.
Yeah, I think that if we want to engage a younger generation of voters, that we have to start listening to what those folks are interested in, and start talking to them and inviting them aboard so that they can have their time, because this is going to be their country very shortly.
That's right. Absolutely.
All right, Nate, listen, it's good to hear from you from down there in Venice. Stay buckled up over the weekend, and hope to get to talk to you again.
All righty. God bless.
Sure enough. All right. Art and Chris, I think we're not going to, I think we are going to stop right now, because it's only 2 minutes till we run to the time wall here. And it's just not fair to bring you on and say, you got to talk in 30 seconds. And I'll tell you what, the War Powers Act, Art, we'll probably talk about that again on Monday. And if you want to call back, you're welcome to do so. And Chris, definitely your remarks about the Republican Party, and because we're going to be back on Monday. So thank you very much for your participation, your calling. Remind you again that today on It's the Music, Stu's going to pay tribute to the fairer sex, as it is National Women's History Month, and today will be a countdown show of the top 25 women in music history, from 25 all the way to 1, women who rock our world, on It's the Music today from 2 to 4 on WMNF in Tampa. And stay tuned for after It's the Music, stay tuned, because we're going to get you through that traffic jam so that you can get home for your Thursday afternoon. It's been good talking to you this week. We're looking forward to being with you again starting on Monday. Be sure that you stay buckled up, Keep yourself safe over the weekend. And remember, this is Driver 1058. Keep your head on a swivel out there. Pick that big foot up. And
keep your eyes on the road, you hand up on the wheel. Keep your eyes on the road, you hand up on the wheel.
This is WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Mulberry, Four Corners.